chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit here today. We pray that you will reveal the truth. Lord, open our understanding, open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have today. We pray that you will sow into our hearts the understanding of the Word of God. Seal it there. Transform us by it, Lord, and make us more like Jesus. And this is what we desire, to be more like our Jesus. Father, we pray that each one will be saturated, Lord, with the oil of joy, saturated with your presence, saturated with your holy word. Father, we pray for light to expel darkness, for every lie and every deception to be exposed and to be driven out from our hearts and our minds. We pray for truth that sets and liberates the captive. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. How many know that living for Jesus puts you in direct contrast with this sin-sick world in which we live? Not the earth, but the world. And the world is meaning that invisible kingdom that is in rebellion. It's in opposition to the will of God. It's an invisible kingdom that's among us as well, as of course the kingdom of heaven is not pie in the sky, but it is at hand. He is with us right now. You don't have to, climb up to heaven. You need to, by faith, speak to the Lord. That's all. Just talk to Jesus. Pray. And believe in your heart that what you ask for, you're going to receive. And Jesus said you'll have it. So we're going to be talking about persecution today. How many feel that's a great topic to talk about? If it's in God's Word, it's a good topic, right? Let's start with verse 1 because I want us to kind of catch up to where we've been. And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed, extremely happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Who are the poor in spirit? Once again, it are those who realize that they do not have what it takes to produce life in themselves. It's a person who realizes that their life is in God. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Now, how can we be extremely happy when we're mournful? Because God promises the oil of joy for mourning. He promises to turn every ugly thing into something beautiful. Amen? "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those, extremely happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." We've got to finish that verse, right? "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." How many know that you can be persecuted for the wrong things? We can bring reproach upon ourselves because we've acted foolishly. "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when," what? "You are persecuted. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." That word "persecuted" means to pursue or follow after. In other words, to hunt down. Your enemy is trying to hunt you down. He's trying to rob from you. Amen? He's trying to kill. He's trying to destroy your life. Has anybody beside myself seen the evidence of this in our world today? Maybe in your own life? He's pursuing us, even as the Egyptians pursued Israel in the wilderness. But God intervened. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Happy are you, extremely happy, when you are pursued, when the enemy is mad at you, when the enemy's trying to track you down and destroy you. You should be rejoicing, because that means that the Spirit of God and of glory rests upon you. It's an evidence. You know what? The devil has no problem with lukewarm Christians. He'll just let them bask in their lukewarmness. He'll just let them settle in their complacency and their apathy. But when you want to be on fire for God, and when you are full of the Holy Spirit, He don't like that. Because it's those who know who they are in Christ, who are full of the power of God, are the ones who are destroying His kingdom. So we are in a war, and no matter what, you're going to be persecuted in this world. Now, you can be persecuted for doing what is right, or you can be persecuted for being an idiot. That's my interpretation. And I know I've been the idiot myself. And I don't like being persecuted because I wasn't using common sense. In fact, there are some Christians who are not using common sense, and then they rejoice because they're being persecuted. Well, God didn't ask you to act that way. And we'll get into that later on. Jesus basically said here that persecution is going to touch all of His followers. You can't avoid it. And because we are trying to live holy lives, pure lives in this world, that is a direct contrast to the standard of the kingdom of darkness, which is depravity. The enemy wants to corrupt. The enemy wants to twist. The enemy wants to deceive. The enemy wants to confuse. The enemy wants to bring you down. Amen? And so God, in His mercy, sent Jesus, amen, to die on the cross to break the curse, so that you and I could go free, so that we could receive forgiveness of our sins, amen, and be recipients of the Holy Spirit. God empowers us to live victorious, not by willpower, not by power nor might, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. Our life is in God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because they recognize that I must draw from the resources of God's eternal grace that He is making available to me free of charge. The price has been paid, but we do need at times to be persistent and consistent in our pursuit of His presence. Because He is a God who is of utmost worth. No one can express adequately in words His value. We try, but we fall miserably short when we try to express with just the words that we know of His greatness. But because He is so awesome, and He's so holy, and He's so powerful, that He is worthy of praise, worthy of our worship, worthy of a life lived for His honor. When we come to know Him, the more we come to know Him, the more that you cannot help but say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. When we slide back, when we drift away, then all of a sudden His praise becomes less and less in our mouths. Because something begins to shift in our hearts. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If you're full of the love of God, if you're full of the glory of God, there will be praise coming out of your mouth. Come on now. Thank you, Lord. 2 Timothy 3:12 says this, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? will suffer persecution. So what we need to do is we need to make up our minds now. You know, some of us are pretty stubborn. And God is pursuing us. And God is constantly trying to get our attention. When are you going to yield yourself to me? When are you going to come to me? I love you. I want you. I want fellowship with you. I want to bless your life. But you're not allowing me because you're so distracted by all this other junk. God loves us and He wants us to be blessed. And so these things He's talking about here is what it is to be blessed. And yet there's contradictions because you say, how can poor in spirit be blessed? How can those who mourn be blessed? How can those who are persecuted be blessed? Because Jesus is talking about something far greater than this momentary affliction that we may experience here in this world. And in the process of the afflictions and the sufferings of this world, God gives us grace. God gives us His blessing. God gives us favor. Amen? He is the one who sustains. He is the one who encourages. He's the one who strengthens. He's the one who gives us joy for mourning. So if you're going through a period of mourning, know this, that joy is on its way. I have found this so true in my life that when I go through stuff, something good is on its way. Every time I go through something, it's because God is wanting to make me something. And the reason why you're going through something right now is because God wants to make you something. And He wants to create in you a steadfast character, that invisible part of you that's going to be made beautiful for Him for eternity. So the things that we experience are actually good for us. It may not always feel good. How many ever heard that expression, no pain, no gain, right? Now, we are not to seek persecution. There are some people, you know, religious people, who are seeking persecution. And in fact, I had a man come to our church in New York one time who spoke. He was a 38 years or something like that in Jehovah Witnesses. He spoke. He taught at their college. He was deep into this stuff. He knew all the ins and outs of the organization. He got radically saved, born again. And he said one of the first things they tell the people that get caught up into this cult, and that's what it is, they deny the deity of Jesus, it's a cult, that Jesus is God, is that now the first thing that's going to happen to you is Satan is going to come against you. It'll probably be a friend or a family member, and they're going to try to turn you away from this way. How deceptive is that? They're trying to help the person, and yet they twist it. That's how the enemy works. He twists it around in their mind and thinking, oh, yeah, they were right. Well, hello. Of course, they're going to try to turn you away from that. But, see, a deceived person is someone that doesn't know they're deceived. Otherwise, they wouldn't be deceived. Hello, right? Has anybody beside myself ever been deceived about something? Sure. Everybody has been deceived at some time or another. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Word of God. Amen? To give us light so we can understand truth. And Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth will liberate you from the lie. Once you know what's true, then you know how to order your conversation and your thinking. Once you start speaking and thinking the right things, your life begins to shift and change and go in a better direction. Verse 10 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What is this righteousness talking about? It's talking about God's righteousness. It means being in right standing with God. Because you are a child of God, because you are a friend of God, you have been declared righteous because Christ declares you righteous. Amen? Because of His blood. If you are in right standing, your heart is right with God, you will be persecuted for that. Now, if you want to compromise and you want to swing with the world and you want to make everybody like you, you want to be friends with everybody, then the devil will leave you alone there too. He says, you're right where I want you. You're absolutely right. You won't be persecuted if you try to be everybody's friend. Now, I'm not suggesting that we go out and do foolish things and mistreat people and are rude to people, because some Christians will do that. Amen? In fact, some Christians are snobs. They have forgotten their own filthy, rotten condition. They have forgotten that it was only by God's mercy that they were saved. And so when we look at the world, we should not be looking at them as pimps, prostitutes, this and that, drug dealers. We should be looking at them as a soul that is lost, a soul that is deceived, that does not realize their true condition. They have believed a lie as though it were true. And when you and I stand up and say, not in a self-righteous way, but say, I love you too much to allow you to do this. I have to warn you. I have to tell you. There is a better way. And some people are just not going to like that, because Jesus said in John 3, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light. And they don't come into the light lest their deeds be exposed. And so we're going to make some people very uncomfortable in their sin. I can remember when I was a sinner. And I mean, I was living it up good. And those Christians would come around, man, they made me very uncomfortable. Anybody beside myself ever feel that way? Turn it off! I'm being exposed. They didn't have to say anything. And so people who are rebelling against God often will persecute those who are living for God. As a matter of fact, it even happens inside the church. We're going to get to that one too. Now, I'm not picking on anybody here this morning. If we do the right things and suffer for it, we should consider ourselves blessed. That's what Jesus is saying. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Let's look at some verses here. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, then this is commendable before God. Right? 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Again, you're going to suffer one way or another. It's always better to suffer for doing the right thing. Would you agree? 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if anyone suffers for being a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. What did Jesus say here? He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad if you're being persecuted because you are a lover of Jesus. 1 Peter 4:19, therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God, notice he said according to the will of God, commit their souls to Him in doing good. In other words, don't quit doing good because somebody ridicules you, because somebody slanders you, because somebody puts you down. Don't quit. It's a sign that you're doing something right. Keep on. Let's not be weary in well-doing. You and I need to understand this thing, amen, that no matter what, you're not going to get through this world without some tribulation, without some persecution, without somebody stepping on your toes, without somebody lying about you, without somebody telling stories about you, without you being passed up for a promotion when somebody else thought they deserved it more. Injustice. That's not fair. No matter what happens, somebody somewhere is going to offend somebody else. That's part of the human condition. Are you with me today? So what we need to do is not react to when those things happen, but respond. And respond in the right manner. Pray first. Because sometimes the enemy gets you off guard. You know? He'll drive it right in there when you weren't expecting it. I just had something recently happen. I won't tell you much about it except I got a letter. And I was expecting something totally different, and when I opened it up, it's just like a knife went in my heart. I'm like, ah. Oh. I literally had like this pain in my chest because it hurt. You know, you just got to live on guard. You got to live with the armor on in a state of readiness. Amen? But when you minister to people, you've got to let that guard down. You've got to make yourself vulnerable. Jesus made himself vulnerable for you and for me. If you truly live for Christ, not everybody is going to like you. Jesus said, blessed, extremely happy are you when men revile you. That means they call you evil, or they ridicule you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, people are going to lie about you. It's going to happen. Just expect it, but don't dwell on that. Say, thank you, Jesus. You see what's going on here, Lord. It's not mine to avenge. I'm not going to get into a boxing match over it. I'm going to take it to God. And God will handle it. And I'm going to pray that God will bless that person. I'm not going to curse them. I'm going to pray that God, like I heard Gail say the other day, will put the armor on them too. Just like we asked God to put the armor on us. This is the way we're supposed to live. You see, we protect ourselves by listening to what God said in His Word. It doesn't make logical sense all the time because the world says if you step on my toe, I step on yours. Right? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus said do the opposite. Instead, bless. Understand this, folks, once more. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. There's an enemy that's trying to disrupt what we have going on. Amen? There's an enemy that's trying to produce animosity and bitterness in our hearts. He's constantly trying to get through the armor. And so we've got to understand where the source of it is. I'm talking about people in the world that come against you too. You've got to understand that it's not necessarily that person. In fact, how many have ever been going through the grocery line and you're in a happy mood, everything, you know, everything's going your way, you're whistling, and you go through the grocery line, and the person on the other side of that cash register is just plain ugly. I'm not talking about ugly looking, just in their disposition I'm talking about. Or maybe both. No, I'm just kidding. But disposition is ugly. And you walk away saying, now, what did I do to deserve that? Right? Well, you might have not done anything to deserve that. There might have been something going on in their life that they just it just spilled off onto you. Come on. Anybody beside myself ever get up grumpy in the morning? My mom had a little saying about my dad, and he said, I decided to wake up grumpy, but I said, no. He usually wakes up grumpy, but I decided to let him sleep or something. But we don't know what's going on in people's hearts, and so we've got to look beyond things sometimes on the surface. And we need to ask the question, Lord, what's going on? Is it something that I need to check out here? Is it something you want to do in me? Is it something that my brother or my sister is going through right now? Maybe God's just telling you, I want you to pay attention to that, and I want you to pray for them. But don't pick that stuff up. Don't pick up offenses. Don't carry that stuff around with you or it'll destroy you and everybody around you. Now, when they revile you, they ridicule you, they put you down, he's not saying to throw in the towel and say, well, I've had enough of this. Because we don't operate out of that. Amen? We operate out of rest. We operate out of the place where we realize that I am a child of God. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what people say about me. Amen? What matters is that I make sure my heart is right with God. If my heart's right with God, I always examine myself. If there needs to be some correction on my part, I don't just assume that that person is wrong. But if after I have examined through the Holy Spirit, I pray and ask God, show me. And once I do that, then it's okay. I just pray for them. I bless them. I go on because Jesus said, if you live for me, this is going to happen to you. And guess what? So often it happens to people that are closest to you. I was in a church one time where someone, in fact, the people that we considered some of our best friends, overnight, there actually came a prophetic word that something was going to happen, that someone close to you was going to turn on you. And I'm thinking, who? Because we get along so well with everybody, you know? It seemed like everything was just in such harmony. And it was almost like overnight, all of a sudden, they just did a complete turncoat on us. And I think it was spawned by jealousy. The spirit of jealousy got on the person. And then they had to start cutting down and tearing down because they felt like you had something that, you know, they wanted. Isn't that a shame? Because we don't have to live that way. We need to be thankful for who we are. God made us all uniquely different for a reason, because we need each other. We need each other's giftings, don't we? We cannot do this alone. So don't be jealous over your brother or sister. Thank God for the gifts that He gave them, because those gifts are for you too. He wants to impart those gifts into you. So don't get jealous over in a godly. It's a good way to be. Now, listen. Paul talked about his own people, and he was hoping that they would be provoked to jealousy by the grace that he had received in his life. So that's a good kind of jealousy. And I have said this recently. You know, I pray for the churches in this community, because we're all in the same kingdom. Amen? And I realize that there are some who are just kind of like going through the motions. Who knows what's going on? Who knows what battle they're in? Who knows what hurts maybe they've been carrying around? Who knows? But what I know is this, is that each one of us should be stimulating each other in the Spirit to the point that we actually, in a sense, become jealous in a good way about what they have going on. Because what it does is it stimulates us to action. Amen? To pursue God, to go deeper into God. Lord, I look at my brother Cliff and I say, I want what he has. Amen? Well, I don't know about him, but no. You know I love you, brother. But he's got something going on. This man, and you ask his wife Deborah, he has always loved God. Amen. Yes. He is the real deal. Yes. And you know, I feel we have a church full of people who are the real deal. Amen. We have the real deal here. We're not playing church. We're not actors. We're pursuing God. We're passionate for Jesus. We want, amen, to receive what God has, and we want to become what He wants us to become. For His glory, for His kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I encourage us to participate as a church together. Go through this together. Learn together. Practice together, right? Give people opportunities to step out. Wow. I better get back on track here. Thank you, Lord. Now, I wanted to share something with you that you might find interesting. Never has there been a time in the history of the world where more Christians are being persecuted. I'm not talking about just revilings, okay, and slander from verbal slander. I'm talking about torture and death as a result of their testimony for Jesus. So I went on to the Barna Report and I downloaded this short article. I want to read it to you about what the statistics are. These are some of the latest statistics. The persecution facing Christians is the largest human rights violation issue in today's world. How many times do you hear about it on the news, though? It is impossible to know with absolute certainty the exact number of Christians who are killed each year for their faith. But according to the World Evangelical Alliance, over 200 million Christians in at least 60 countries were denied fundamental human rights solely because of their faith. 200 million Christians have been persecuted in that sense, denied basic fundamental human rights because their faith. Now, David Barrett, Todd Johnson, Peter Crossing, in their 2009 report, in the International Bulletin of Missionary Research, estimate that approximately, I want you to hear this, 176,000 Christians had been martyred from mid-2008 to mid-2009. This, according to the authors, compares to 160,000 martyrs in mid-2000 and 34,400 at the beginning of the 20th century. Are we seeing an increase? If current trends continue, Barrett, Johnson, and Crossing estimate that by 2025, an average of 210,000 Christians will be martyred annually. It's happening. I'm not talking about the human rights violations and the other person. I'm talking about put to death for their faith. Now, Jesus said we should not be surprised if the world hates us. If they hated me, he said, they're going to hate you too. But the good news is that I just saved a bunch of money by switching to Geico. Y'all getting too serious, so yeah. Listen, the good news is no matter what happens to you or I, no matter what happens to you or I in Christ, we're going to win anyways. Hallelujah. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and it's always better to be present with the Lord. So if we're going to die anyways, we might as well die blessed. Die happy, doing what pleases the Lord, knowing that our reward in heaven will be great. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. I'm almost through. Jesus' greatest persecutors were not the Roman soldiers. They were the religious people. Do you know what? Nothing is new under the sun. The people who are persecuting the church today are the religious people. And even religious, quote, Christians, unquote, are persecuting Christians who are walking in the authority of Jesus Christ. The ones who are walking in the Spirit are being persecuted by the ones who profess to be followers of Jesus but do not really possess the life of Jesus. So just because it says Christian on the label doesn't mean anything. Amen? We need to be people of substance. We need to be able to back up what we say. Because you know what a hypocrite is, right? It's a person who is an actor. It means stage player. One who can act it out very well. In some cases, really make people believe that person's really that character. But God knows the hearts. And so, I know we're real here. But people who are real for God, people who really desire to live godly, who really have the love of God in their hearts, who want to live in honor, amen, to give glory and praise to Him, to preach His gospel, to let that light shine into the darkness. Those who desire to do that are going to be opposed. But I don't know about you, no matter what you do, and I learned this growing up, that no matter what group I hung out with, no matter what I did to try to get along and make everybody like me, no matter how much partying I did thinking it'll make me popular or who I hung out with, no matter what I did, there was still always somebody who didn't like me. Yeah. So, like Joyce Meyer says, get over it, right? Not everybody's going to like you. Don't live to please everybody. Live to please God. Hallelujah. And if your ways please God, guess what? You'll also get along with a lot of people too.
Amen.
Because people need love. And we need to walk in love. Hallelujah. But it's a sign that God is in our lives if we suffer for Him. If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. Hallelujah. We have seen it. I have seen it in church circles where God began to move in the services and just sovereignly moving, and people just got whacked in the Spirit. They got drunk in the Spirit. They got happy in the Spirit. And it was the religious crowd that always opposed it. We don't laugh like that here. You're out of order. Come on, I've seen it before. You have too. We are not a religious crowd here, are we? We are followers of Jesus. We know that Christians are being martyred by religious factions, religious groups all over the place. Why? Because they're not conforming to their image. They're not conforming to the God that they have erected for themselves. Come on. You know what idolatry is? I'm almost done. It's fashioning a God to suit yourself. Well, I don't like what the Bible says about God, so I'll create my own God. That's idolatry. And then those who live according to the Word of God, in truth and in spirit, that is also, are going to be persecuted by the ones who choose not to because they just don't want to go there, because they enjoy their sin. And when the light comes on, it hurts your eyes. You don't want to be exposed. Now, the only way that we're going to reach the lost is to walk in the truth, is to walk in the light, and to declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness, to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to have two effects. When you really live for God, you have people who love you and you have people who hate you. But you don't have people who are on the fence. Have you discovered that? They either love you or they hate you. Now, if you're living a lukewarm life, then you kind of get a pull a little bit here and a pull there. But the devil's going to leave you alone. So I don't know about you, but I want to be on fire for Jesus. Because I want to destroy the works of the devil. And I want to bring honor to my Father. And the day will come that even though maybe you are persecuted, we don't know. We may be put to death someday for our faith. But great will be our reward in heaven. That's something that's eternal. Amen. Something that's everlasting, something that's never going to fade or perish, reserved in the heavens for you. Your reward in heaven will always be there. No one can take it away from you. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to live for eternity. I'm tired of living, amen, for this world that's coming to nothing. Woo! Let's just stand. Would you stand? God bless you.